You know, I had a message I was working on for today, and I had it just about done Friday morning. And then Friday afternoon, God just kind of gave me something else. And if you know me, I don't like to... Working on a message on a Friday afternoon, starting one on a Friday afternoon, is stressful. And so you'll get that message next week, the one I had done. But the news of this new executive order, you know, requiring masks, really kind of pushed a lot of different attitudes, different comments out that, you know, that I heard. And so I'm just going to share with you what really came, you know, what God had put on my heart. And it really doesn't follow a logical pattern for a sermon. So you're probably going to get like three little sermonettes here. But I'm going to start with saying that it has been really tough being in a position of having to make decisions. Juanita, they even asked for prayer on that. I was not expecting that. But not just for me, but for our board and a number of other boards, you know, having to make decisions on what is the response? What are we to do? The decision on closing the doors of our church at the beginning of the pandemic, that was a tough decision. Yes, there was an order out there that every public place be closed, basically, but there's always a choice. There's always pros and cons that we have to address. The decision of reopening after that order was overturned by the Supreme Court, that was made with some discussion. Is now the time to reopen? The decision of what to do after hearing that we had a possible contact with someone here in worship who had possibly had COVID-19 over the 4th of July. You know, those are tough discussions. What do we do? How do we respond? There have been a lot of discussions with deacons, elders, other board members, and for us, our desire is to make the decisions that honor God first. That's our desire. Decisions that also fit our local congregation. You see, the decisions that we have made for here may not be the best for another church congregation in a different place, in a different area. You know, though inside me I feel conflicted, I'm more conflicted because I cannot seem to find a coherent truth about the virus. That's the tough one. Experts say one thing, government officials say another thing, medical community, they're all having different opinions, different beliefs, different strategies. What's right? What do we follow? What do we listen to? And if that isn't bad enough, each and every one of us, we have opinions, we have beliefs. Some of us are better at being vocal of those. Others quietly hold them, but they're still there. I've not been getting on Facebook or social media a whole lot lately. One, I am busy, yes, but two, I am disheartened to see all the rage and anger on both sides. We almost feel the weight of a divided nation. These divisions are not just political. Just going to a local Walmart, you can find and you can see divisiveness even before the mandate of wearing masks was in place. Divisions in communities are there, but that isn't all. We're seeing divisions in churches. We're seeing divisions in families. You see, pastors and church boards, they make decisions with the best of their ability, just like us. And members get upset. Some leave, others cause disruptions and divisions. Now, I can say that I haven't really seen that here in our congregation. I'm so thankful for that. But it's happening around us. Just speaking with other pastors, I know it's there. There's only one winner with a divided church, and that's Satan. It's kind of important. There's only one winner when a church becomes divided, and that's Satan. So let me tell you, getting the virus isn't good. I realize that. But it isn't the worst thing. Worse than getting the actual virus is the relational divisions and the hatred and the anger stemming from fear and selfishness. Those will do more damage than this virus ever could. So when we're faced with making a decision about whether we should require masks for those attending our service here this morning or not, we know that this is a divisive and polarizing topic. No matter what decision is made, there will be some who won't like it, won't agree with it, or not agree fully. So we decided to keep worship in what we have been doing. If you would like to wear one, please, please do. If you don't, which I see a good portion not, I had no idea who would show up this morning, who would wear them. I encourage those that are really struggling with this to do what you feel is right for you. If it's social distance, if it's staying home, if it's wearing a mask, you're going to have to do what's right for you. I and the board deeply care about everyone that's here and everybody that's not here. We care deeply. With that said, I don't want to see any of us passing the virus either. So we are kind of struggling with, we don't want to spread it, but yet we don't want to hinder our ability to freely worship together either. So we're kind of in a give take. And that's why I say this is something for you to decide. We're not going to be an enforcer here at the church. I don't have all the answers. Again, I can look at all sorts of different things and find pros and cons for all sorts of different things. But my conviction is to worship and worship God in spite of what is going on around us. If you are here this morning, I think you have the same conviction. But what is weighing on my heart is division and divisiveness. We may not have that issue here. We may have some that I don't know about. I don't think we do, but this is something that we can look at and be on the lookout for, be wary of. So I'd like to read some scripture this morning, and I'd like to start with 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting with verse 27. 1 Corinthians 12:27. Now you are the body of Christ, and each of you is a part of it. Each and every one of you is a part of the body of Christ. If you have given your life to Him, you've given your life to Jesus, you are a part of the body of Christ. Christ has a place and a purpose for you. No one can tell you that you don't belong. It's funny, Deanna brought that up right in our time. I wouldn't say that I'm a toenail, but could be a callus, maybe. Yeah, maybe. But you have a place and a purpose in the body of Christ. No one can tell you that you don't belong. Guess what? You can't say, I don't belong. The Apostle Paul wrote more on this a few verses before this, and I'd like to read that. So turn back to verse 14 of chapter 12, and we'll read a few verses there. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? The Apostle Paul gives us a picture of what the body of Christ looks like by speaking with a reference to our own physical bodies. My foot cannot say it doesn't belong to my body and just stop being a part of it. My body can't all be an eye because my body wouldn't function. God has arranged our bodies perfectly, our physical bodies. Just think how we were intricately put together. Everything working together. Even when you fall asleep, you keep breathing. Your heart keeps beating. You even digest food while you're sleeping. It all works. And we don't even have to think about it. Even the complexity of a single cell has many, many parts. Just an individual cell. It's amazing if you've ever studied how, I don't know what you call it, microbiology? I don't know what you call it. But even just studying how things work in a single cell of our bodies. That is Christ's desire for each of us, that we would work together as a body of believers, each being different and each having different roles or functions so that the whole, everything, works together. We need everyone working together. Like I said, the only winner of a divided church is Satan. That is because a divided church cannot be effective, because it is not functioning correctly. The church becomes inward focused rather than outward focused. In other words, it is so busy putting out divisive fires rather than tending to the Holy Spirit fires that He's starting. Now you all know this, and I have said our church body has done fairly well at being unified. Praise the Lord. Just look at the awesome youth rally that we just had. Let me tell you, God is working. Satan would love nothing more than to try and take our joy and our passion and our pursuit of Christ. So this message is a warning message. This is a message that division can enter quietly and slowly grow if we're not looking out for it. We have to trust each other. Trust that we all deeply care for each other. As Christians, we need to be. We need to deeply care for each other and trust that. Because here's the thing, we are all different. As I look around here, there's not one of you or two of you that are exactly the same. Even if we had twins, they still wouldn't be exactly the same. Sometimes we have differing opinions, differing ideas. Sometimes it might be a little tougher to get along, but as the body of Christ, we're committed to work as a body, one body, with each other. If you're visiting with us and you're from another church, You're committed to whichever body, local body God has put you in. So as we look at what's going on around us, you know, there may be new mandates that come out from the governor. There may be new hurdles that we will have to face in the near future. We may be facing a virus firsthand if it does come into our congregation here. Let us trust each other and commit to unity when and if that time comes. We can discuss differences, but our commitment is to the unity of the body of Christ. Differences is not all bad. It's been interesting with just even our deacon and elder board, with the variety of backgrounds. Actually, our full board. Many different backgrounds, different places in life. They bring different perspective to things. Many of them have spoke things to me. It's like, I never thought of things that way. So being different isn't bad. It's good. But we're committed to the unity of, and the body of Christ. So let's be ever vigilant in watching out for the things that bring destruction. Galatians 5 has two lists in that chapter. A list of the desires of the sinful nature. This is a list of what things we are to stay away from because they bring destruction and death. And then there's a list of spiritual fruit, a list of what we are to pursue because of what Christ and the Holy Spirit is doing in our lives. This list brings growth and life. Let's read the first list in Galatians 5, verses 19 through 21. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. See, now any of these could be a cause of divisions. But the reality is that there is a good set of things that cause division in relationships in general. Things like the hostility, quarreling, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division. These may start out as just thoughts, but when dwelled upon, they grow. Some of these start in the heart and mind before coming to the surface. And something we need to ask God is to show us what attitudes we have, what attitudes we need to put on the cross. If we're not to partake in the desires of the sinful nature, then what are we to have? And that is to be filled with the Holy Spirit and produce spiritual fruit. And we see that in verses 22 through 23. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things. You see, these are actually kind of easy when things in life are going great. It's easy to love when someone's loving you back. It's easy to be patient with someone when they're not annoying you. It's easy to love my wife when she loves me back. The true test is showing love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control in the face of adversity, in the face of conflict. I mean, if you are at Walmart going the wrong way down the aisle without a face mask on, and someone is really rude to you, patience and gentleness and self-control become a little more difficult. It doesn't have to be there. We can find adversity in our families and differences in churches. They're difficult because there is a relationship there, and there are many times you have to keep coming back to Jesus for strength because the desires of the sinful nature are right there wanting to come out. The anger, the hostility, those are the first feelings we often get. Sometimes we just need to take a moment and say, Jesus, I need you. Satan would love nothing more than to steal your peace, your love, your goodness, your gentleness. So whether we go out into the community shopping or running errands or spending time with the body of Christ in church, are the fruits of the Holy Spirit in our lives visible? Let us strive in all ways to live lives worthy of the gospel and promote unity in the body of Christ, even when we come to realize that we're different and we have differing opinions. Again, I'm speaking from my heart this morning, and I would like to share a couple more passages with you. And I might be just bouncing around a little bit. But as I have seen divisiveness grow in our communities, sometimes I must take the responsibility for my choices and my actions. I need to ask the Lord at times about myself. Is what I am doing bringing honor to Him or dishonor? Is what I'm doing or what I'm saying, is that bringing honor to the Lord? Or are we just trying to get our way? If I get into arguments over mandates or politics, is my words and actions reflecting Christ? Are they reflecting love? Or are they not? Yeah, I'm the pastor, but there's many times I have to check where I'm at. 2 Timothy 2:22 through 24 has a little to say about that. Flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments, because you know they produce quarrels. And the Lord's servant must not quarrel. Instead, he must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. It's funny, I don't remember that verse being there before. Lately, I'm not sure how I'm doing there. I know that I struggle at times and I need encouragement. I think some of you do too. And that's what we do together here, is we encourage one another. Let us stay away from foolish and stupid arguments. And if you don't know what that looks like, I can tell you, just look at Facebook for a little while. Look at news articles that have comments at the bottom of them. That's there. And there's lots of it. The question is, what am I doing to share Christ with others? Is my words and actions representing Christ? And how can I serve Jesus in order to see His kingdom grow? The final passage is one that I'll just read and pretty much just leave with you. Hebrews 12:1. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition with sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Run with perseverance. Sometimes it doesn't feel easy. Sometimes feeling weary and losing heart is what we feel more. Spending time with Jesus and the encouragement from other believers helps us when we are weary. Fixing our eyes on Jesus helps us to stay focused on what is really important, and that's Him. So that's really what the Lord had placed on my heart this last Friday. And I'd like to close in prayer, and we'll have one last song. Lord, I thank You so much for Your tremendous love. And Lord, as we look at Your word and what it has to say about unity and the and Your body, Lord, I'm thankful that I'm not out on my own, but I am together, placed with a group of people that make up Your body. Lord, not just here at Christ Community Church, but churches all over. Lord, we make up Your body. And Lord, help us, if we are not staying focused, help us to remember what is truly important, and that is You and Your kingdom. Lord, let Your kingdom come more now than it has before. Let us grow in You and deeper than we have before. And let us grow deeper in our relationships with each other. May the unity just flow out. And may Your fruit be ever apparent in everything that we do. And Lord, we pray this in Your name.